Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Holy Father, we do come before you once again and thank you for your great mercies toward us, for your love toward us, how that you even tabernacle with us. It is amazing that the thrice holy God would dwell with sinful men. And we thank you for that, and thank you for your great, great, great long suffering and patience toward us. We thank you for the great hope that we have that someday life as we know it will be laid aside and we shall bask in your presence with sinless thoughts and even in the glorified body we will not be hindered in giving full expression of our love and devotion to you. And I pray, my Father, that you would bless us to hide thy word in our hearts on a daily basis, that we might rejoice more and more in the fellowship of your presence. Some of us will be traveling somewhat the next few weeks. We would pray that you would have mercy, grant traveling grace, no delays, no breakdowns, no mishaps, and all would go well. Pray for Sister Sharon in her test that's coming up. Pray that there would be no issues found and all would be well. If there are, there would be no need of any surgery or anything of that nature. All needs be supplied, thou knowest. Do pray, Father, for Sister Mary's daughter, Gayla, who's had undergoing pain, and even that would be subsided. We pray for our nation, God, that you might have mercy upon us. Things do not look well from many, many aspects. Politically, economically, morally, even militarily. We cannot go about worrying about whether we're being spied on or people know what we're doing or not, because they're doing all of that. Our defense is you. We pray that you lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. If they leave us alone, we'll be glad to leave them alone. All we want to do is go about our lives honoring and glorifying you. Nevertheless, thy will be done. We pray, Father, that you would sustain us that we not bring shame nor reproach on your cause or kingdom. And it is in Christ we pray. Amen. As we continue looking at the life of a believer, we were talking about the fact that after one is regenerated, he desires to live according to the commandments of God. And after all, if a person who loves the Lord, why would he not want to do what delights God? Just like children with parents or spouses with each other, if they truly love them, they would desire to delight in them and do what delights them. Also, after a person is regenerated, Scripture shows us that he overcomes the world. 1 John chapter 4. Beginning at verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. In other words, here's the way you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when a person has been regenerated by the Spirit of God, he has a power in him that is of God, and that power is greater than that of the world. And that's what we have to continually be mindful of. That a child of God is an overcomer. Notice he didn't say, ye are of God, little children, and you should overcome them. And he didn't say that you ought to overcome them or that you might overcome them, but ye are of God and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's something we should never, ever forget. This brings me to something that is very, maybe controversial with some folks. But I received a phone call recently, and this person's friend had recently moved into an apartment. I believe it might be a house. I forget which. And there was a lot that was going on in this house that is unexplainable. Such as doors automatically opening or shutting, and nobody was around. Objects, I believe, some were some objects of crosses that they had hanging on the wall for some unknown reason, all of a sudden were hanging upside down. Rooms messed up. And so this person called me and asked me if I believed that that was really could be real, or did I believe in anything about demonic activities. And I said, well, while I do not normally say much about that, it is possible. And very likely, or very possibly, that is what's going on in this case. I've never known any situation like that. I have read of situations like that. Many years ago, I did a quite in-depth study on demonology. Don't know that I recommend it. In fact, I got to the point I became obsessed and realized that I was looking for a devil behind every blade of grass. And so that was wrong. But there's a lot of things that go on that we do not know and do not understand. We know that many people were possessed of devils with unclean spirits, epileptic, lunatic, and other things in the days of the Lord. I knew a man on one occasion, because of his situation in life, he had gotten down to where the only money he could scrape up was out of the fountain in the square of the city in which he lived to buy food. He'd do that in the middle of the night. He feigned himself. In other words, he pretended to have some emotional problems in order to be admitted to the local psychological hospital in order to have a place to sleep and have food. That's the bottom line. But he told me that while he was there, that he had seen a lot of things, and he gave one illustration of a little old 90-pound woman that it took 4 or 6 men to restrain. He said, now that's just not natural. In other words, he too, and this man, while he was there, he was not insane or anything, because of his acuteness, he gave the psychologist pretty much a fit. But he witnessed some things there that he thought maybe were demonic as well. Now, I said all of that to say this. Of course, some people hear me saying that probably think I'm crazy. Myself. No pun intended. But anyway, I said all of that to say this. I said, you tell this young lady, because she professed to be a believer, remember what the Lord said here in 1 John 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And pray to God continually while you're living there. So personally, I would get out of there if I could. They said, well, they've got few months left on their lease and they can't afford to, and so they're kind of having to put up with it. Talked recently after that, about a week or so, and said things were getting better. And when I went through that in-depth study on demonology, I had to come to this too. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I am not going to underestimate the power of the devil. When Michael and the devil were contending about the body of Moses, even Michael didn't rebuke the devil. He said, "The Lord rebuke thee." I am no match for Satan. And nobody else is. But by the grace and the power of God, we can overcome the devil. And I even say that with trepidation, because knowing not what trials may lie before me, even in the week to come. And I'm not superstitious either, though we all are to some degree. But how many times have you said, knock on wood? But anyway, we must ever remember that we are of God and we have overcome them, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We have a power of God, and we are to live in accordance with the Word of God and thereby be overcomers in the world. This is one of those passages that leads me to believe and to question that a believer can actually be possessed of the devil. Believers are oppressed and assaulted by the devil all the time. And a believer is tempted not only by the devil, but by his own flesh all the time. And we often don't know which one is which, whether it's the devil or whether it's just our own sinfulness. But still, I must believe God's Word here in 1 John 4. We are overcomers. Not that we are overcomers in ourselves, and not that we are, we have the strength and we can do it, and I can do this, and I can do that, and I've heard preachers in the past say, well, you just need to rebuke the devil, and if you will rebuke him, and so on and so forth. There's no scripture for that. It does say we're to resist the devil and he'll flee from us, but it doesn't say that we're to rebuke him. Michael said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. In 1 John 2, we see, beginning in verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So these people to whom John is writing, he tells them that they are overcomers. And he does not indicate that this is some special super Christian. These words are for us today as they were for them in that day. We also find in 1 John 5, in the 5th chapter of 1 John, and verse 4, it says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So we see that when a person is born again and has the faith given to him by God, he is a believer and he overcomes the world. That's what the Scripture says. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. He didn't say whosoever is born of God ought to overcome the world, or you might overcome the world, or you should overcome the world. He says you overcome. So the believer is an overcomer. The believer is a sheep. He's a believer. He's faithful. He's pure, has a pure mind. He has a pure heart. And all these other things. But he's also an overcomer. And the reason is not because the person himself is anything. It is because the work is of God. The only reason, dear saint, you haven't left the Lord and gone back to the world is because the work of God is in you. And every one of us, most likely, I can say it of myself, have seen people that we thought were real strong Christians to really deny God and go back to the world. And it appears that the reason that they did so is because they were not born of God. And yet there are also situations that I know of, maybe you do too, where people have denied the Lord for a period of time and come back. But all we could say about them, the time that they were in, had denied the Lord, is that they were an apostate. Thankfully, to be proven wrong. Because the only judgment we can make of a person is by their fruits you shall know them. There are some people that appeared to have been the Lord that have left and came back, and they said the reason they came back is because they were not converted to begin with, and when they came back, they wanted to be baptized. Because the first time, they said they got wet, but they weren't really biblically baptized. And so you have that kind of situation. Have all different kinds of situations in life. But we're talking about the general principles. And who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. He is an overcomer. And he will overcome the world. This brings us to Revelation chapter 2. As our Lord gave this to his angel, who gave it to John. We see that in the very first verse of the first chapter. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants, notice, servants, plural. That's to you, not just to John, but to God, all of God's servants, God's children. Things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So God gave it to Christ. Christ gave it to the angel. The angels gave it to John. And part of this revelation, there were sections of it that were directly given or mentioned seven different congregations in Asia. We will read from chapter 2, which has to do with four of these. No, we read chapter 2 that dealt with four in our scripture reading. But in 2 and 3 we'll get to all of them. But notice what we find to each one of the churches. The first one was Ephesus. And in chapter 2 verse 7, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, plural. And to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now what we're going to see in all of these congregations, these seven different congregations that were scattered about in Asia, that's this area of Turkey today, they were kind of in an egg-shaped form, located all about in that area. If I get another map here, it'd probably show it a little bit better, but might take more trouble to do that than turn the map right now. But all of the blessings were given to the overcomers. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life that's in the midst of the paradise of God. Now you have to come to one or two conclusions. That either all of the Lord's people are overcomers, or those that are not overcomers will not have the right to eat of the fruit of the tree of life in the paradise of God. You have to come to one or two conclusions. That some have the right to eat and others don't. Well, I believe in the glory world they all have the same right to eat. I don't say that we'll all be equal. We'll all be equal in the fact that we'll all be glorified. But there's going to be the 12 apostles judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm not an apostle and I won't be judging a tribe of Israel. So I won't be in that position. You say, well, what's that all about? We'll have to wait and see. But it does say that he that overcomes will rule. We'll read that. Paul in Corinthians talks about the fact that we will judge angels. You say, what's that all about? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I'm not going to say, well, I don't believe it because I don't understand it. Paul condemned the church of Corinth for going to court into the secular laws of the land with fellow believers. Fellow believers should not sue each other in any court, divorce court or anything else, which indicates that very likely, two believers go to court. One of them may not be a believer, or both of them may not. Or if they do, it's wrong. They're sinning. I'm not saying every time a believer goes to court, he's wrong, because an unbeliever may sue him. And you may have to go to court sometimes to, not against a fellow believer and a brother in Christ, but against someone in the world in order to receive your just deserts. Paul had to do that upon one occasion. He said, I appeal to Caesar. And so he did so. So, anyway, we're not going to try to discuss all the ins and outs of that. Dropping on down in Revelation 2, with regarding to the church at Smyrna, he says in verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Now, he said the devil will do it. Well, if somebody cast you into prison because you're being faithful to God, it might be the sheriff, the local sheriff or something, but it's the devil that cast you in there. You see, we need to realize that these wicked politicians and leaders are of the devil. They're either of God or they're of the devil. If they're not doing right, they are of the devil, period. There's no middle ground. That ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now, what's the second death? That's to be cast into the lake of fire. We find that in Revelation 20. So, whosoever is not cast into the lake of fire is a child of God, right? And so, he that will not be hurt of the second death, the lake of fire, is an overcomer. Which tells me that all of the children of God will be overcomers. So he was said back up in with regard to Ephesus, back in verse 7, that the overcomer either had to be some of the sheep or all of the sheep. And I submit that they're all of the sheep. Well, here I believe it's quite obvious that it's all of the sheep. It's all of the elect. It's all of the children of God. God's children are overcomers. And you find an individual out here that's eaten up with the world, living in the world, following the world, talking like the world, acting like the world. They are the world. That's all you can say. That's all you have the right to say. But he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now that wasn't just to Smyrna, that was to all of the churches. Notice what it says. In each one of these, in verse 7, it said to all the churches. In verse 11, it says, back here it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's to every congregation. All of the saints of God in those congregations. Alright, then it takes up Pergamos in verse 12, but we come down to verse 17. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. On and on and on we see, and we're going to look at all of these churches, and we're going to see that all of the blessings are given to the overcomers. God's children are overcomers. God works effectually in the lives and in the hearts of an individual when He regenerates them. And that power that is in them is greater than the world. And it overcomes the world because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And those individuals overcome the world. Verse 18, it takes up Thyatira. But we come down to verse 26. And we see, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. Notice, keepeth my works. To him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Not only the Lord will rule with the rod of iron, the children of God will rule with the rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You say, well, I don't want to be a ruler. Not a matter what you want to be, it's a matter what God wants you to be. I didn't want to be a Christian until God changed my heart. You say, what's that all about? We'll have to wait and see. I don't have to understand what God says to believe it. I don't have to understand how He could create everything out of nothing to believe it. I don't have to understand how God could take a man that is dead in trespasses and sin, and the next moment he'd be alive in Christ Jesus. I don't have to understand how that happens to believe it. I don't have to understand how that happens to experience it. I experienced it. Not that it was a instantaneous thing with me in my own mind. I can't put my finger on and say, well, this is when God changed my heart. I can kind of give a little bit idea around certain age that maybe he did. But even Paul's was instantaneous. But was it when God knocked him down? Or was it when Paul said, what will thou have me to do? Or was it after Paul said that? So, who knows? God. But God did it. And if it was after Paul said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? God didn't do it because Paul asked, what would the Lord have me to do? Of course, I think he already had life, or he wouldn't ask the Lord what he'd have him to do. But it could have been right the opposite. Paul could have just been crying out, so I don't know what else to do, you know, and just ask that. Dropping down into the third chapter, it comes to the congregation at Sardis. Dropping down to verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I think that's again quite evident of all of God's children. All of the elect, all of the believers, all of the redeemed, all of the sheep, whatever you want to call them. Here they're called overcomers. Overcomers. So what are they overcoming? Go back and read the epistles. Overcoming the things that are in those congregations and a lot of other things in the world. There's a lot of things we may never overcome in this world. I'm talking about in a natural way. A person might want to lose so much weight, they may never accomplish that goal. They may never overcome that. Or some people want to gain weight, they can't overcome that. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we may never reach. But for every child of grace, he shall overcome the world. Glory, hallelujah to God. Aren't you glad that the work of God is perfect? Aren't you glad there's nothing left up to you that you must do in order to enter into glory? though you are commanded and you are to do. It is left up to you in another way. God commands us to do, and He's not going to do it for us. And yet when we do it, it's only God that works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. You say, separate it out. I can't. Scripture teaches it. I believe it. Woe be to him that takes away from the Word of God. God's going to confess you before, the Lord is going to confess you as His child before the Father and the holy angels. As it says in Hebrews, quoting from the Old Testament, "Behold, I and the children whom Thou hast given me." Here they are. My Father, they have overcome, and here they are. I know my heart and nature, and the only way that can ever be is by the grace of God. And the most amazing thing about it is, and I sure can't comprehend this, when He presents me before the Father as an overcomer, I will not hang my head in shame, because I'll be glorified and I'll stand before Him not only holy, but without blame. What a great, great salvation. You know, you want to say, is that really true? Is that really real? It sure is. Oh, what a good God we have. All right, dropping down to verse 12. As it talks about the church in Philadelphia, "He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And then we come up to Laodicea. And in verse 12. Verse 21. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or trials or distress or famine or nakedness?" No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We love the God. We are under the love of God, and we shall overcome. And I'm not quoting somebody when I say that. And then in Revelation 21, verse 7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." We're going to inherit all things. Why? Because we are joint heirs with Christ. And the child of grace overcomes. No, he doesn't live sinful. He has his pitfalls. He has his ups and downs. He has his struggles. He has his times of dryness of soul. He has the times of hardness of heart and all other such things. But overall, he is an overcomer. Overall, he is one that lives and practices righteousness. He is not of this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a God. You say, well, I sure don't feel like an overcomer. I don't either. I feel like I do more failing than I do anything else. But I must believe God's Word. Yes, I know the struggles of Romans 7. And so does every other believer. I never will forget. I don't know really what the status of this young man. I guess he's an old man now. But back in my early years at a congregation in early 1972, probably 72 and 73, I was pastoring in Frazier in Memphis, Tennessee. And I would right down the street was a hamburger joint called Whataburger. I don't even know if they're still in existence or not, but anyway, there was one there. And every day for lunch, I'd just about go down there and get a Whataburger. And one of the cooks there, young man, I don't even know how we got, I guess he somehow saw me coming there every day. And I think he recognized my car because my car stayed outside church office all day long because I spent all day there studying. And he stopped by one day, I think one night, I believe, around 10, 11 o'clock, maybe 12 o'clock after the place closed. And I was usually up at all hours of the night studying too, as well as throughout the day. And he stopped in and he started stopping on a regular basis. He didn't know anything about the doctrines of grace, and we had a lot of long conversations. And one night we were talking about the struggles. I was talking to him about the struggles of a Christian. He said, "What are you talking about?" Because he was raised with a whole different idea. His religious background was a work system background. Followers of Mr. Campbell. But anyway, I turned over and read to him about Romans 7, about the struggles of a Christian Paul was going through. He said, "Boy, that answers a lot of questions for me. Never even had heard of it before. Always wondered what happened to that young man." And his reaction to the Word of God was a whole lot different from a professing believer. I think he's supposed to call himself a preacher that came in one day, wanted to know about the doctrines of grace and what we believed. And I tried to talk to him about it. And every time I tried to tell him what we believe and so on, he'd come back with some argument and some argument and some argument. Finally, I just turned over to Romans 9 and started reading. He said, "Well, that's just your idea and your opinion." I said, "If you'll notice, I haven't commented. All I am doing is reading." He slammed his fist down on the desk and said, I will not have any part of a God like that. I said, you may not have. After he left, I prayed for that young man that God would open his eyes and heart. In the flesh, at first, I wanted to hit him. I wasn't right. God is God. And God will change the hearts of His people, as we have read abundantly. And I have not tried to indicate that you're going to live a sinless life or anything like that by all of these other comments. But a child of God is an overcomer. I must believe God's word. You are not going to be drugged down by Satan and destroyed. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's pray. Holy Father, I don't even know how to express the gratitude in my heart for your great salvation to such a wretch as I am. Words fail me. But thanks be unto God, you do not fail to read my heart. And as full as it is, and as it almost teems to burst open with praise and gratitude, even on the heels of it becomes follows cold emotions as well. What a mixture of joy and sorrow. What a mixture of height and depth. What a vacillation of the spirit and the flesh. And yet, by your grace and power, by thy sovereign power, we'll be overcomers and issued into thy presence. Yea, we must confess that sometimes when we are shut up and can do nothing else than to follow what the Scriptures teach, and it seems like friends and relatives and neighbors or whatever would leave you alone, leave you to yourselves. No joy in that. It's not the fact that we are riding down the street on a big parade of some sort, talking about being overcomers. There were many that were committed to the flames, beheaded, tortured. Sawn asunder, thrust through with a sword. lived in dens and caves of the earth. Yes, they were overcomers. Others obtained a better resurrection. Many of the saints have reclined upon a bed of ease, laid back against a soft pillow, and gave up the ghost. Or their lives were taken, not that they gave it up as Christ did. Some died horrible deaths. Some still dying horrible deaths. Some dying with ease. And all degrees in between. They all are overcomers by Thy grace. Thank You. Thank You for a positive, powerful, successful salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.